Hey, we've been going through James. Have you enjoyed this? We typically don't go through a whole book, but I've been finding this really, really interesting and challenging, and I've been learning a lot. James is one of my favorite books. I said this before. I decided to do James partly because I think I quote James more than any other book. That's probably not true, but I do quote James a lot. And a lot of it's because he's practical. And as we're living life, we need practical things. And James is a very practical guy. And we've talked a little bit about, you know, grace and faith and works versus grace, all that. But James is definitely a grace guy. But he's also a guy that says, hey, if you're saved by grace, God will produce works through you. Do you believe that? Because I do too. So last week, Pastor Kinney talked about faith, works, life, and the dead. And it was a great sermon. He used James 2:20, faith without works is dead. In other words, if you've got faith but you don't have any works, then he's not sure your faith is very alive. Because if you have the life of Christ alive in you, if you have faith, how can you not see transformation and change and works and things happening in your life? Isn't that right? Amen. So thank you, Kinney. Good sermon. We're going to move into chapter 3. And I want to tell you that I am not really pleased with this section of James at all. Is there a mic on? And I'm not pleased with it because it talks about the mighty tongue. And I don't know about you guys, but I got convicted. And then I continued to get convicted, and then I was still convicted, and then I went to bed and I was convicted. I got up and I was convicted. I prepared and prayed for my sermon and I was convicted. I got here to church, I said something to somebody, and I was convicted again and had to repent. And my tongue is mightier than my brain. And anybody that knows me knows that my tongue can get away from me sometimes. And it's not good. How many of you have a tongue that has a mind of its own sometimes? Well, James talks about that. And I'm reminded of a story about the tongue. I want to read this, tell you this. There was a young man, and it was his first day on the job. And he was new. He was a new clerk in the produce department of a supermarket. You've seen him in the supermarket, right? Some 17, 18-year-old kid, and all bushy-tailed, and ready to go do his job. And he's there in the produce department. A lady came up to him, and she said she wanted to buy a half a head of lettuce. Not a whole head. Not two-thirds of a head, not a couple of leaves, but a half a head. And he tried to talk her out of it, but she persisted. I just want a half a head of lettuce. And finally he said, I'll have to go back and talk to the manager. So he goes strutting off to the manager, and he went to the rear of the store to talk to the manager, not noticing that the woman was walking right behind him. Dan, it's me. And when he got to the back of the store, he said to the manager, there's some stupid old bag out there who wants to buy a half a head of lettuce. What should I tell her? And seeing the horrified look on the face of the manager, he turned around and seeing the woman, he added, and this nice lady wants to buy the other half. Will it be all right? Considerably relieved, the manager says, yes, that would be fine. Later in the day, he congratulated the boy on his quick thinking. And then he asked, where are you from, son? And the boy said, I'm from Lexington, Kentucky, the home of amazing basketball players and ugly women. The manager looked at him and said, son, my wife's from Lexington, Kentucky. And the boy said, on what team did she play for? So I guess if you're going to have a tongue that talks out of turn, you better be quick to try to save the day, right? How many of you are good at saving the day? You know, for me, I find that I'm kind of oblivious. I said something this week. I was in a restaurant with some of my family, and I said something to my daughter. It was no big deal. But I didn't think about the fact that that may bother my other daughter. And it never entered my mind. And then later, a few days later, I found out that what I had said, completely innocently, offended her. And I got to thinking about that. How many times do we say things, but we offend people? And so I started asking the Lord, Lord, how do we stop doing that? I mean, I don't want to be offensive even if I'm innocent, and I'm not trying to be offensive. And the Lord gave me a really simple answer. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Only let things come across your mouth that I give you to come across your mouth. Be careful in everything that you say. Watch. Read your audience. Understand what the implications of what you say. Let it be kind words. All of these things. How many of us have the capability to just walk in the Spirit all the time? Well, one does. Not me. But I'm trying. You remember the saying that sticks and stones may break your bones, but names will never hurt me. That's a lie. The problem with that is it's a lie. It's the emotional, sometimes spiritual damage created by words. It creates devastation, harder to heal than any broken arm. And the thing is, our words carry power. There's a power, there's a spiritual power that comes with our words. Stephanie and I, many decades ago, I've had to change from several years ago to decades ago because I'm old, but vibrant and healthy and feeling good. Thank you. And we were doing a study on the power of words and curses and things. And we were at a church, and some guy got up to do an announcement about Sunday school, and he was trying to get workers. And finally, he just looked at the congregation and he said, "And if you're not volunteering for the Sunday school," and then he just kind of shouted, he said, "Shame on you." And Stephanie and I, because we were attuned to it so much, it was just like a slap in the face. The curse of shame, the power that is in our words. And I don't know if you've ever said shame on you to someone, but we should never be speaking a curse of shame on anyone. We should always be full of grace and mercy and the salvation and the transformation that's available by God. And our words hold power. And this is what James is talking about. Let's see what James has to say, starting chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness." Well, why would a teacher be judged with a greater strictness? Well, some of it is because a teacher has more influence and they can cause damage, right? But some of it also is like the scripture that says, "To him that knows to do right and doesn't do it, to him it is sin." So if you know enough to be a teacher, now you know enough not to be doing some of the things you're doing. There's a greater, stricter judgment because you know better. Do you get that? And so if you want to be a teacher, that's a good thing. But if you want to be a teacher, make sure you know what it is you want to teach. And don't go off teaching things that you're just guessing at, that you're thinking it could be true. Or you had a great idea and this must be God. Could have just been the pepperoni pizza from the night before. But there's a stricter judgment to those that teach. He continues and says, "For we all stumble in many ways." Can you say, yea, verily, yes, thank you, God, amen, that's me. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. So any of you able to bridle your tongue and you're careful about everything you say? If so, then he says you're a perfect man. We all make mistakes. We all see things. But you see, what we say reveals the truth of our hearts. When God came to earth, John's gospel says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word's powerful. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And then continues and says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The Word is powerful, the vocal, the things that are said, his written word. All of these things are important. And James is trying to get us to recognize the damage that can be done with an unruly tongue. So then he moves into taming the mighty tongue. So James is getting into the heart of what he wants to say. How do we tame our mighty tongue? We all have a tongue and we all have suffered from what comes out of our mouths and what others say to you. Has any of you been just cut to the quick by a word from somebody? Just hurts. We have to be careful. I think that mothers figured it out pretty quick that a bar of soap may have the ability to help cleanse a tongue. Anybody else have had a bar of soap because you said something you shouldn't have said? I remember standing there with tears coming down my eyes, mixing with the spit and the soap bubbles, and just so upset that, you know, it's just horrible. I think God wants us to have some spiritual soap to clean our mouths. By the way, I don't want to make this a social media sermon, but I do get on social media occasionally, and I do watch some of the things that are said on social media. I'm sure you guys see it too, right? And it may not be spoken word that's happening on Facebook, but some of the pictures and some of the things that are written are appalling to me. They're just appalling. And I think, Lord Jesus, you came. You want us church without spot or wrinkle. You want us to be light. You don't want our mouth. You don't want the things that we say to detract from the message that Jesus is Lord of Lords. Isn't that right? And Don, some of your Facebook posts. Just kidding. He continues, verse 3, when we put bits into the mouths of horses, we make them obey us. We can turn the whole animal around. And you know, when you put a bit in a horse's mouth, it goes through the mouth and it resides on this really soft area back at the back of the mouth. And it's tender for a horse, so you just have to give it a little bit, a little tugging, and they feel that, and they'll go where you want them to go. And we can turn this huge, thousands of pound animal with just a little bit. Or take ships as an example. Although they are huge, they're large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants it to go. And you see this huge ship, and it's got this little rudder in the back, and where you turn it, the ship goes. Don's our Navy guy. He could tell us all about that. But you turn with this little rudder. So what's he trying to say? He says, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. He's trying to show us that our tongues can rule the direction of our lives. It can rule the direction of other people's lives. It's a small part. But if we don't have control of it, if you were out on the ocean and in the middle of the waves and the sea and you didn't have a rudder, you wouldn't stay on the water very long. You'd end up tipping over and sinking. You got to have a rudder to get to where you want to go. And our tongue needs to be bridled. It needs to be a rudder. It needs to be controlled so that we don't allow it to affect our lives and other people's lives in a detrimental way. It's like a small spark setting a whole forest on fire. It says, the tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. I love that. The tongue is a world of evil. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Well, he's not mincing words, is he? He's telling us exactly how he feels. The tongue is a danger to our spiritual life if we're not allowing the Holy Spirit to control it. Man cannot tame the tongue. That's his next section. And he says, all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. How many men can tame the tongue? Does that include women? Okay, mankind. It's like that scripture that says all men are liars. But women are not, right? But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. You know, even our young children, if you ever notice that, little children learn to say mean things from an early age. I remember when my little grandson, and I won't tell you which of my grandsons, since I only have one, when he learned the word poop. Can I say that in church? Well, now every other word was poop because he thought it was funny. Why? Because he knew it was wrong. Isn't that like children? And so from an early age, our tongue begins to get away from us, right? And it starts to do and to say and to be. Anybody convicted yet? Because I am. James is recognizing that no matter what we do, our tongue gets in the way. And then he moves into praise and cursing. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. It's amazing how quick we can go from praising God or talking righteously, and then in the next breath, cursing someone or maybe even gossiping about them, which is just as bad. I think gossiping is a curse. The tongue can go back and forth without pause. Have you ever found yourself in that place? Maybe you're worshiping, praising, talking out to God. Somebody steps on your toe, and immediately they're a so-and-so. How does that happen? How does that happen in one life? One instant to the next instant. It says, out of the same mouth come praising and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? James asked the question, can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? And our answer would be, no. You can't have that. It doesn't work. Which is his point. How do we do that as God's children? But his point is that we are allowing good and bad to come out of our mouths. Good and bad, fresh and salt. This should not be, but it happens. Have you ever had someone tell you or your mother tell you, do you eat with that mouth? Ugh. My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. In the theme of faith without works, works is dead. James gives us this to work on. Do you have faith this morning? Then why does your mouth show something different? Why does my mouth show something different than the faith that I have for Christ, the grace that he saved me by? What flows out of us needs to flow from our faith, not from our carnal man. It needs to flow out of faith. It's our faith in Christ that will transform us and produce good works, and it'll produce good words out of our mouth. It'll cause our tongue to produce praise, to produce what's fresh and not what's salt. Our faith will tame our tongues by the power of God, but we've got to walk in faith, right? And I want to finish in Matthew, and I want to finish with the words of Jesus himself when it talks about the tongue. If you want to turn to Matthew 12, I'm going to start at verse 33. The scribes and Pharisees had just said some pretty awful things. And he says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. Isn't that true? When you walk up to an avocado tree, if you say it's an orange tree, you don't know nothing about fruit, right? And he says, you brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I want you to think about that. Have you ever said something evil? Something nasty? If you would realize that out of what's inside of your heart is what's coming out of your mouth. Now, I happen to have a spiritual gift of sarcasm. I've got a PhD in sarcasm. And I have been working for decades to learn not to be sarcastic. But it's hard. And so I've been trying very hard because that's part of the tongue. That's part of the abundance of the heart. And so I've been asking the Lord, Lord, where is this coming from? What inside of my heart is causing me to be sarcastic? And so I've been trying to work on letting God change my heart. Who else has an issue? Maybe it's not sarcasm, but maybe it's something else. If you want to get control of your tongue, let God inspect your heart. It's your heart that's letting things flow out. If you curse, there's a heart issue. If you gossip, there's a heart issue. If you're mean, there's a heart issue. If you curse people, it's a heart issue. Do you see that? It's all about our faith in God and His transformational, and He will transform those areas of our heart that are bad. Do we expect to have bad things in our heart? Yeah. And as I quote Job all the time, the heart is deceitful above all things, and it's desperately wicked. So don't tell me your heart's good, because the Bible says your heart is desperately wicked. And he says, who can know it? See, we're blind to our own hearts. But he says, I, the Lord, will search the inward parts of a man. In other words, if you let him search your heart, he will reveal those things to you that he wants to correct and to heal. Are you ready for that this morning? You want to ask God to begin to help you with your heart? The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good. And the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. That's the fruit, right? I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. How many of you want to give account on the day of judgment for every word that you said? Well, how about this? You know all the people you talked bad about behind their back? Are you ready for them to hear all those things at the day of judgment? Because we're not going to hide from it. It's going to be revealed. God wants us to let Him transform our hearts. God wants us to get a hold of our tongue and to let Him change this window into our souls. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Now, who said that? Jesus said that. By our words. I mean, so many of us think, well, it's by my actions. Well, yeah. But it starts with your words. It starts with our words. What we say is a window into our very hearts and our very souls. The tree is known by its fruit. Fresh or salt? How are you known? You know how you're known. You're probably your own worst critic, if you were to be honest with yourselves. And today is a great day to reflect on this. This is a good day to do an inventory and say, Holy Spirit, reveal to me my heart. I want to take control of my tongue. I want you to be able to let fresh water pour out of me. I want people to say, oh, well, there's Dave Springer. I've never heard a bad word out of his mouth ever. He always encouraged me. Every time I get around him, I'm encouraged. I feel good. I feel great. Have you ever been around somebody like that? Every time you see them, they make you feel like you're the king of the earth. I want to be that person. Well, I got a big hill to climb. Big hill. There's not one of us who doesn't struggle with our tongues. And what's worse is if you've given up the struggle. Have you ever met somebody that's given up the struggle? They just say whatever they want to say and they don't care. That's who they think they are. But it's not who they are. We must allow God to fill us with His Holy Spirit so that what flows out of us is pure. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. Sorry, I've got a cough. Our theme scripture, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. What did the word say today? Tame your tongue. How many of you want to tame your tongue? Now look at Harry over here. Happy birthday. I don't want to let the cat out of the bag. But Harry's been practicing 39 for 50 years.
We love you, Pastor Harry.
And I don't hear unkind words out of Harry. Now, I don't know what his wife hears. And I don't want to know. But I do know that every one of us struggles with our tongue, right, Harry? And in 89 years, is there anything you'd like to go back and correct? Not say? Take it back. Yeah, thank God for repentance. You see, it's grace that saves us. And it's through the grace of God and through His faith, the faith that we have in Him, that He produces the bridle on our tongue. He will do it. We just have to work with it. We have to ask Him for it. We have to sit down and let Him reveal to us our hearts. I mean, you think you would do better day by day by day if you started the whole day by saying, Lord, tame my tongue. Just tame my tongue today. Let there only be blessings, no curses. Let there only be good things. Let there be fresh. Let there be Holy Spirit things and not me. Less of me, more of you. Would that be good? Would you stand with me? I'm going to pray this morning, but I'm not going to use my tongue. Because what I want to ask is that you'd close your eyes and I want you to pray silently to the Lord, a prayer of repentance and a prayer of taming. That He would show you your heart, that He would show you your tongue, that He would show you what He's doing. and that he begin to work in you the miracle afresh. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, I want to pray a prayer of blessing over everyone here. In the name of Jesus, I bless you with the Holy Spirit. I bless you with the power of God. And I bless you with the transformation and the power of transformation that comes from Jesus Christ himself. Go in peace. Amen.